We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Now, Gresh and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Audacy app and listen on demand anytime.
McAvoy and a tip and goal by Bergeron.
DeBrusk on the doorstep, tip, and Bergeron cleans it up.
Marchand closes, fights off the Petry check, centers, DeBrusk, Bergeron scores.
McAvoy bumps it back, Pasternak the drive, tip by Bergeron.
And a feed in front, they score! A lot of traffic in front, and Patrice Bergeron has gotten the first goal of the game.
Patrice Bergeron is back. We'll talk about that with Joe McDonald, the guy who had the nugget, threw it out there on Twitter. We'll talk with Joey Mack at 12:20, but now this bounce house thing is...
Well, by the way, so somebody said...
I'll read the text,
and I'll set it up.
So the text, Rich, love the show. Don't be a cheap ass. Your salary is visible on net. You make plenty of cash. And then he says, Gresh wrong on Dolly. Try to move a 450-pound boiler across a backyard. No way. Pushing, pulling, da-da-da. Just saying happy Friday.
So this is amazing. So this is... And this... Because if it says The Rock is worth $1 billion, you're like, oh, he must be worth $1 billion. So this one website, I can't even believe that I'm on this.
Is it Celebrity Net Worth?
No, it's Facts Buddy. Facts Buddy. And it says, what is Rich's net worth? It says he has a net worth of $2 million, which he has accumulated from his work as a radio talk host for at least a decade.
Oh, that's great.
$2 million.
$2 million.
Where on earth would that be?
So I just...
If I sold every item I own, it's not $2
million. Oh, stop.
There's no chance.
Come on.
No way. Even with this housing market, I'm $2 million. I'm worth $2 million now?
So if you just type in someone's name and net worth into Google, there are websites like... allfamousbirthday.com, factsbuddy.com.
Yeah, I was on factsbuddy.
CelebsageWiki.com. Then there's just straight up celebrity net worth.
My biggest beef is it says, factsbuddy says I'm 5'10", which I'm 5'11".
Okay.
Guess how tall it says Andy Gresh is?
Probably 6'1".
5'11".
Oh, there we go. When was the last time I was 5'11"?
It says, Andy Gresh is a man of above average stature. Andy stands at a height of 5'11".
5'11?
Yep.
Where's your net worth? I think fifth. Oh, dude, I'm all over the place. They have me between $1.5 and $5 million.
Wow. This one says your net worth is $761,159.
How do they do that? Profiles Info has me in at $5 million estimated net worth.
Nice.
And then there's another one that has me at $1.57 million on the net worth.
What a bizarre
what a world we live in that this is out there. There's also, is he married? Where is he now?
Oh, yeah, that's because that always pops up because we used to do, guess the Google autofill.
Probably the most insane thing on Gresh's is that it says he's a popular American journalist.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if popular or journalist is more asinine.
The popular part could be sold, but that is true. Yeah,
an
I did.
Author.
That's right. I do have author
credit. So you're an
credit.
Author, not a journalist.
I think I'm as much a journalist as Dave Portnoy is, if we're going to be real about it. Like, what we
do
all
do. Do you believe
do,
in the First Amendment?
Yeah, right.
Why is Dave Portnoy been from games?
Like, oh, man. So there you go. So how about that?
So anyway.
Oh, somebody said call your home insurance agent and get an event rider.
Even if I...
For three-year-olds.
Oh, my God. You know what else my wife got for the party? Which I thought she was joking at first, and it's a real thing, and they're coming on Sunday.
Okay.
Baby goats.
Stop.
Baby goats are going to be at this party. Look at Billy's nodding his head.
Baby? So wait a minute. Goes,
yes.
So
yeah, there's
going to
be baby goats. I don't think you can throw them in the bounce house before you ask.
I know we're going to get to Patrice Bergeron and we got Joe McDonald coming up. However,
yeah.
your wife spending like crazy, you notoriously cheap. Yep. Do you have any idea of the money that has been spent on a birthday party for a three-year-old, which she'll remember until probably five?
I don't know. Bounce house is pretty good, though. She may remember the bounce house years
from now. You think at 10, when you disappoint her on her birthday, that she's going to be like, oh, but dad.
So her whole life essentially has been during COVID. So we didn't do anything when she turned one or anything when she turned two. So that's sort of the justification.
All right.
I don't know the full price of it, though, but it's certainly more than I would
have
spent.
Will you look?
I don't want to, no.
No, but I'm saying, will you?
Or
will she just handle it and be like, Rich, don't look?
That'll be. We'll do that. We'll do it that way.
And she's pregnant.
That way I can sleep. Right.
So you're not giving her any lip.
No, can't do
that.
She'll
bust you upside the head.
Right. But yeah, so baby goats, a bounce house, and I will provide lots of beers.
Are pants required?
Pants off.
Off of yesterday.
No pants. It'd be too hot for pants. In fact, no pants.
That's right. It's supposed to be like 87 and 88 on Sunday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, anyway, we do have a bit of an update from Pierre LeBrun, who mentioned that Joe McDonald, who'll be joining us in 10 minutes, that he had the nugget that Patrice Bergeron's coming back on a one-year deal. Pierre LeBrun, he tweeted out, Bruins GM Don Sweeney is slated to meet with Patrice Bergeron next week when he returns from vacation. Bergeron's camp declined comment this morning, and then LeBrun had to kind of be like, hey, Bergeron's the one on vacation, not Sweeney, in case I confused anybody with that.
Sweeney's out there. You know, he probably signed a new contract.
Sweeney's been on vacation for 7 years.
Well, some would argue. Yep. And you have a chance to do it for many more years. He has feet up. It's like taking
Sweeney might show up at your house, see a bounce house, and be like, hey, I want in.
Sweeney went to my high school, so we are classmates.
Oh, there you go.
We have the same alma mater.
Did he win the hockey version of the football award that you and Davey Eyeballs won that y'all were crowing about on Twitter?
I would hope so. I'd have to check the archives. But
one of a
handful of NHL guys, I would imagine he did.
Yeah, do they? Thanks, John, for retweeting the facts, buddy, about me on Twitter. I appreciate that. They took the worst.
We're talking about it on the show. I wanted to put it out there.
So they took the worst.
Are you eating lunch right now?
They took the worst photo. Oh yeah, it's his noon apple.
He started talking. An apple.
Noon apple.
An apple a day makes me poop all day. Is really what it is for
him. Yogurt in the morning.
Oh,
whatever it is, you need to change up the pattern maybe.
Mix in a date.
I mix those in quite often.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So
anyway, yeah.
So it looks like
Bergeron back for a year, right?
Oh, yeah, Patrice Bergeron coming back. No new news on this at all other than what was there from Pierre LeBrun.
Right.
So really, and I do think this will end up really morphing into a lot of the crux of the discussion with Joe McDonald coming up, and that is, where is all of this going? We know Patrice is coming back. You're going to have to probably get rid of someone. One of those $3 million players is going to have to go if we figure Patrice is coming in at $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is all the reshuffling of the rosters that apparently a lot of these NHL GMs are looking to more swap players than it is to dive into the draft and things like that. So there's got to be something in the back of Don Sweeney's mind that lets him know he can find the money to get this done. But he also, I think, has some time to go out and then put that plan together.
It also prevents the blow-up happening this year. You're not bringing Bergeron back, who was, even at his age, still one of your three, four best players on the team, right? So you're gonna try to win again this year. But then you tried to win this year, and you got bounced in the first round and then decided to fire your coach, which I also hate. I hate it more now if Bergeron's back. I would have just said, take the established coach, take the guy that got you to the cup final a couple of years ago, give him another crack at it with this team. But obviously they didn't go in that route. I think the next move would then have to be locking up David Pastrnak long term, mm-hmm. because if not, then you're really in a 1 year we need to win it. And then I wonder if that changes some of your moves. Like, are you trading first-round picks, and are you trying to get kind of crazy for 1 year? Because maybe in a weird way, it's not just the last year of Bergeron, but the 26-year-old 50-goal scorer might be in his last
year.
Well,
see, that really, to me, is the discussion. Okay, you're not blowing it up now, but how are you kind of reconfiguring things a little bit? Because you're right. I have to think. Don't you have to think as we sit here at 12:13 on this Friday that Don Sweeney has an idea as to what David Pastrnak wants?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of think so too.
But how likely? Like, I think the Red Sox also know what Devers wants. They know what Bogarts wants.
Right.
But are they willing to go there? Are they willing to do it? And I fear that if the team is, once again, good but not great, right? Like, they're a top eight team, but they're not a top four team in the conference, which is what they were this year. And maybe, again, if you don't make any roster moves, I don't know how you're a whole lot better. But then, I want Pastrnak long term, but let's say he is dead set on, you know, testing the market, or, you know, which ultimately might end in him leaving. Are you forced to play out the whole season with him, not trade him for max, like whatever you could get for him, because you have Bergeron? Now you're like, well, we got to ride this thing out.
Because Bergeron's
back. And then they
back.
Both leave in a year, and then where are you? Just have Marchand.
Could be. Could be. Yeah. As so, you would say, possible.
Possible.
So we'll talk to Joe McDonald about all that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, more of Gresh and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
12:20 on the dot with Gresh and Keefe here on this Friday afternoon. Patrice Bergeron is coming back to the Boston Bruins, according to the gent who joins us now on the Harbor One hotline at Joey Mac Hockey on Twitter. He works for the Worcester Telegram Gazette. You might find him in Polar Park a bunch, but he is Mr. Hockey Joe McDonald here with Gresh and Keefe. Joey Mac, how are you, friend? Great job on this little nugget here.
Thanks, guys. Doing well. How about yourself?
We're good. Now we're just trying to figure out what in the world does all of this mean. Joe, it's only a one-year deal for Patrice Bergeron, and that maybe isn't really surprising. However, if he does sign this one-year deal, what does that kind of mean for the future of the Bruins, and does it complicate it because he's on the roster? You're trying to take another kick at the can. How do you sort of read if Bergeron does end up with just a one-year contract?
Well, I think it's a good move, Gresh, only because, look, you're still getting one of the best centermen in the NHL, even though he's 36 years old. And yes, he's banged up, and we all know he had off-season surgery on his elbow, and there's a lot of hard minutes on that body. But given the fact that he still had a fantastic season last year, despite all of that, and he is still one of the most respected leaders in the league, and you're going to have him for, you know, possibly at least one more year, that's huge for the Bruins. And you know, even Cam Neely said it, Don Sweeney said it about, you know, this rebuild process. But maybe this kind of puts it on, you know, it doesn't stall that process right now. But depending on the new coach and depending on who else they bring in or roster changes that they make, you know, it's still – this team has the potential to be a playoff team. And once it gets to the playoffs, you never know what can happen. And if they're able to do that, which I think they have the ability to do, then you have Patrice Bergeron. And we saw it with Zdeno Chara when he was on those 1 year contracts for a few seasons. And not only did it help the Bruins on the back end, but it also helped in the room. And so I think this is a good move for both the Bruins and Patrice Bergeron. And I just think it's funny, Gresh, that some Bruins fans are, you know, on Twitter, they're like, oh, they, you know, they goes the start of the rebuild. You know, we have to wait another year. Like, what? Like, you got Patrice Bergeron coming back. Like, let's you know, halt all that and just enjoy the fact that, you know, he's going to be back on the ice with the Bruins, and you know, fans get to see him at least for one more season. So I think it's a good thing for both sides.
I'm definitely glad Bergeron's back. However, I guess I sort of understand where, you know, some of those fans are coming from, only in the sense that it seems like everybody is back. Like, everybody is under contract anyway from a team that lost in the first round. So how flexible can they be, or how likely do you think it'll be for them to make some moves? And it looks like it's probably going to have to be trades more than anything else.
Well, if you look at what this team accomplished, though, I mean, they took one of the best teams in the league to seven games, and afterwards we find out of all the injuries that they dealt with. So if you have a healthy Marchand, a healthy McAvoy, a healthy Bergeron, you know, Grizzly, go down the line, I mean, maybe the outcome in the first round is different, and maybe, you know, all of these changes that have happened this offseason maybe don't occur. So now we're looking at, you know, they'll name a coach here probably sooner than later. And will they have to make some roster adjustments? Yeah, sure. But, you know, there are opportunities to buy out some players. There are opportunities to call up some players from Providence if needed. Or the biggest thing is they can go out free agency and bring in some complimentary players that might help this roster. And the other thing, too, is I know ever since David Pastrnak put out that video from the World Championships of him asking David Krejci if he was coming back, I mean, that's still a possibility. I can see a scenario, the new coach coming in, whoever that is, saying, okay, look, if David Krejci comes back, look, I'll promise you that you're on Pasta's wing, and then we'll have Bergeron and Marchand, once he's healthy and ready to go, up top, and there you go. And then we'll fill in the rest. So maybe this team, as not currently constituted, but has the potential to build that roster, has another, you know, kind of kick at the can, you know, so to speak. So, yeah, sure. After they make a decision or they announce that they have signed Bergeron, when that happens, I don't know. But if and when that happens, then they can start figuring things out from there. Tim Neely even said that during the season, the year-ending exit meetings with the media. So, yeah, they have some other decisions to make. But as of right now, I really like, you know, the decision by Bergeron to decide that he wants to come back.
Joe McDonald of the Worcester Telegram. Has that had the nugget that Patrice Bergeron looking to come back on a short-term deal? He's here with Gresham Keefe. You mentioned the word buyout, Joe. Is that a banned word in the Bruins organization? Can we really, like, can us Bruins fans really think that maybe one of these awful contracts might get bought out?
Yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility, Gresh. I mean, the Bruins have done it in the past. But, again, they have to let all the pieces kind of fall into place to figure out, you know, what they want this roster to look like. And, you know, Cam Neely, Don Sweeney had said that, you know, they're looking for, you know, that new voice or a different voice, and they want to maybe play a different style of hockey. So, you know, depending on, again, who the coach is, then they sit down and they say, okay, this is a style of hockey that we want to play, or we want to get back to a style that, you know, the more physical aspect to the Bruins maybe. I still think they play that under Bruce Cassidy, but then they figure out the roster from there. And so, I mean, again, there are possibilities to buy out some players, you know, to make some cap space, maybe give some younger players more of a look than they've gotten in the past. So who knows at this point, but it will be interesting to see what Don Sweeney and Cam Neely do, and whoever the new coach is going to be. So we'll have to just wait and see.
Do you think they'll get a long-term deal done with David Pastrnak before the season?
I think that's probably maybe a wait and see. I know the Bruins in the past, and they even did it with Pastor prior to this current contract that they gave him. They waited to September, and they gave it to him. Like, there was a little bit of he missed training camp a couple days, and then they finally got it done, and he was happy with that. And I'm sure that they would, based on history and how they've signed other players for long-term extensions, I'm sure that Don Sweeney would like to get that done, even though there are rumblings out there that Pasta wanted to be traded. But I think if, depending on who the new coach is going to be, and even if, say, if, you know, a long shot of Krejci decides to come back, you know, that's going to appease David Pastrnak. And, you know, maybe he says, all right, let's get through this season and, you know, we'll go from there. But the Bruins, in my opinion, they need to sign him to a long-term extension. I'm sure that they want to sign him to a long-term extension, but it all comes down to if he's happy here in Boston, especially with all the changes. Look, like he was close with Torrey Krug, and Torrey Krug left. He was obviously close with Krejci, and he left. And there was talk about Bergeron possibly retiring. I'm sure that had an effect on him. And he's probably thinking, okay, who am I going to play with? I mean, he's had a great career because he's played with guys like Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, David Krejci to some extent. So, of course, if he's having success playing with those guys, he wants those guys around him. And if not, then he has to figure out what he wants to do. So I think eventually the Bruins would want him long-term, but who knows? I mean, it's a business, and he's learned that based on all the points that I just made. So, again, another wait and see, but I think depending on who the new coach is going to be, then maybe Pasta's happy and he wants to stay here. Look, he's a future leader of this team, and he could be the face of the franchise with him and Charlie McAvoy of an original 16. So, again, who knows?
Joe, we've only got under a minute here, but who is it? Is it Quinn or is it Leach who ends up becoming the next Bruins head coach? Do you have a lean?
Gretch, if I had to put money on it, I would say David Quinn, only because he has NHL coaching experience. He has a relationship with guys like McAvoy, Grizzlick. Certainly he has a relationship with Pasta. And I just think that could be the right choice. Now, I can also see a scenario possibly where even Jay Leach is on the coaching staff. Maybe you have David Quinn as a head coach and you bring in Leach as an assistant, if Seattle will allow that to happen. I think maybe even Joe Sacco stays on the coaching staff as well. So even though they had interviewed those five guys, maybe more that I had tweeted out a few weeks ago, I just think that maybe the best fit for this team right now is David Quinn. And again, let's see if they add Jay Leach to the coaching staff, because he was a big part of this organization for a long time and a guy that they thought could be a head coach with the Boston Bruins, but maybe just a lack of head coaching experience might hinder that. But again, I would say David Quinn is the leader in the clubhouse at this point.
At Joey Mac Hockey on Twitter, Joe McDonald of the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. Joey, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Good to connect. Great job, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There we go. Joe McDonald, there you go, breaking it down. And so he's with David Quinn. I'm kind of the same thing. I don't think Leach is coming here
Quinn.
To be an assistant, but it feels like it's the mighty Quinn. It is time to review the week in this show.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness!
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness with Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
I bring it.
Jack and Gingy, be stingy on the Gingy.
Snatched his clothes off and relieved himself, leaving feces all over the store.
Mom, pass the effing salt.
All right, it is time for our weekend review. We covered a lot of topics, Gresh, including Bill Clinton discussing aliens on the Late Late Show.
The short answer, but not the most meaningful one, is I don't know about this. But when I was president and I had a chief of staff, John Podesta, who loved science fiction, we made every attempt to find out everything about Roswell. And we also sent people to Area 51 to make sure there were no aliens in a deep... because Area 51 is very important.
Who do you send to Area 51?
Oh, if I told you that. No, actually, I sent my Sandy Berger, who passed away sadly a couple of years ago, who was my national security advisor. But I said, we got to find out how we're going to deal with this, because that's where we do a lot of our invisibility research in terms of technology. Like, how do we fly airplanes that aren't picked up by radar and all that? So that's why they're so secretive. But there's no aliens.
There's no aliens. It's just where we use the alien technology. Come on. I don't know why you can't tell us that there's aliens.
If I said that, the world would go crazy.
You're right. You'd get smoked.
But Slick Willie does it.
Yep.
And he just sounds like a slack-jawed yokel.
Anything goes. I think Gresh's favorite caller, John in Rhode Island, wanted to call in as Gresh was talking about Ndamukong Suh this week.
Hey, guys. You know, I love the show. Thanks. Gresh, I just want to say you live your life in fear, and I live my life in opportunity. You want to pay Ndamukong Suh $8 million. You want to trade a ninth overall pick for Matt Ryan, but you don't want to sign Rafael Devers long term. You guys played Manny earlier. You didn't play Manny, saying that he's surprised that the Red Sox haven't paid him. Everyone's surprised except for you, Gresh.
I do like he's got a vendetta.
He does.
You, and he always finds a way to circle it back to Devers.
Yeah, I don't know who was trading the ninth pick for whatever. Yeah. Again, that's a guy who would run a business for a month. And then he'd be bankrupt.
The Seahawks or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Were we breaking down the Seahawks draft?
I don't know.
That was a weird one.
He's just piling on.
Should have left that out.
Yeah, he's just trying
to.
That
didn't help the argument at all.
I can't. I'm looking forward to his call for $25 million a year for Grant Williams.
The great Bill Burr was on the Greg Hill Show earlier this week and went toe-to-toe with Jermaine Wiggins, if you want to call it that. Wiggy has some takes. Wiggy, of course, wants Tom Brady to live the rest of his life in Boston and be a Bostonian now. Bill Burr, however, doesn't think that makes sense, like all of us. And this is how that went.
No, I always thought the guy was going to retire here, and this was, you know, he's going to lay down his roots here, and his kids would go to school here.
My kids
quick.
Could get to know his kids, and then me and Tom could go to lunch one time.
That's how
I thought it was going to be. And then he killed our dream that he didn't realize was his dream also. And he went to Tampa.
All right. Now he's doing early bird specials down there. I know you're a masshole like me, unlike Brady, who deserted us.
Stop lumping me into you to make your point try to make sense. You're being a big baby about
it. No, I'm not being a baby. I'm just spitting facts.
Athletes do not belong to you. Just enjoy them while they're here and then thank them for their service, just like the troops. You go off on somebody who's no longer in the Marines?
No.
You used to defend the country. I thought you were a hero. Throw it through. Then you didn't re-up.
Just thank them for their service and move on.
You're familiar with the Vikings play-by-play voice, Paul Allen.
Yes.
Remember the whole, this isn't Detroit. It's for the Super Bowl. I wonder if Paul Allen on his talk show goes, damn it, Jermaine Wiggins doesn't live in Canterbury Park.
Why didn't he live here?
How in the world does that happen?
He had a couple nice seasons with Minnesota. Speaking of nice seasons, Manny Ramirez had a bunch of nice seasons with the Boston Red Sox. And he was back at Fenway Park this week. And he did a little stint on TV and in the radio booth. And while in there with Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming, Trevor Story had a nice base knock. And here's what that sounded like.
Sense, totally. Story lines went down the left field line. It's a
That's a foul.
Hopping the ball. He did go hitting third.
Well, he's excited about it. He was certainly excited about it.
Oh, that was great. By the way, Manny Ramirez, open door policy for this show. You walk in.
Oh, anytime.
We're in.
Anytime. John might have to have the dump button ready, but that's fine.
Well.
Can't be any worse than
that. We've had Ty Long.
Ty Long. Yeah, I was just going to say.
Ty Long.
Tom Curran goes.
Wouldn't be the first thing to do that. I didn't know he was spitting hot swears.
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure. Number of good callers this week. Here was one, maybe one of the a great catchphrase, nice walk-off line here by one of our callers.
Unless he knew something. And the obvious is he's not a great player, Derek White. So, I mean, that's what I see, and I hope you agree.
See, I disagree with Tony. Like, I think Marcus Smart did turn into a point guard. I did. So good.
So, I mean, that's what I see. And I hope you agree.
What is better? That's what I see, and I hope you agree. Or Bob Ryan on the famed conference call with Theo Epstein about J.D. Drew. Let's hope the rumors are not true. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. And
I
seed my time. Yep. Pretty good. Ricky in Hyde Park called in. He had a lot on Bradley Beal. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but Ricky seems pretty sure of what's going on here.
Bradley Beal's coming here. I hope you know that.
Yeah, how's he getting here?
He's coming here. Coming here.
How?
I know you guys are talking about all this other stuff, which is great, but Bradley Beal is coming here.
Why?
How are they getting it done?
Because he opted out with well, Jesus, who did he play for?
It was Washington.
Yeah. Okay. He opted out. He's not going to sign with them. He's coming here, and Bradley Stevens got the okay to do anything that he wanted, and he's coming here, Bradley Beal. You're going to have Horford coming up the bench. You got Bradley Beal, Marcus Smart, Brown Tatum, Robin Williams.
Unbelievable.
I mean, everything you want in a caller wrapped in one.
Less than a minute, he came in there, had some hot takes. He was convinced about Bradley Beal. Mispronounced three different names in there at one point. And
does
then
he remember that call, do you think?
Oh, yeah. He might not remember that he got...
He woke up with a headache the next day, and he doesn't know what happened.
He might remember he got Time Lord convinced of one of the great comedians of our time,
of all
but nevertheless.
Time. Rest in peace. But I also love this line. How?
I know you guys are talking about all this other stuff, which is great.
You guys have a lot else that you're talking about. I love all that other stuff, but here's where we need to go.
Is that his way of saying I love the show?
I think so.
Yeah.
That's definitely his way
I'll take that.
Of doing it. And also, of course, frequent caller Sorja, he called in. He, of course, of the Celtics are going to sweep. Oh, they lost the game, Celtics in five. Oh, they lost the game, Celtics in six.
He still thinks they can win in nine.
So he called in, we think, with a Red Sox take yesterday when we were at the golf tournament down in Rhode Island, but he just wasn't bringing it at all.
What's going on, guys?
Nothing.
Oh,
what's
man.
Going on with you?
Come on, we tee you up and
come
you got
on,
nothing?
For Christ's sake,
yeah, exactly.
With how are we doing? We're doing fine.
NBA Finals, you're getting up shots. Now, today, we figured you were going to be leading. Well, I just went to the batting cage and hit some softballs. And you're like, hi, guys, how you doing? I'm in my Tesla. Bye.
Listen, guys.
Fast pitch. He just hung up on us.
I did not do
did
that.
Did you hang up on him?
No, I didn't.
He bailed?
No, what happened was...
He had a Red Sox take.
Somebody,
no, that was my fault.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody at Command Central pulled up a...
Hold on, Sorge, a callback. I lost track of my crooked finger. That happens sometimes, and I accidentally hit a different line, and it dropped.
Oh,
Sorge.
God. What a line there by John. How many times did he use that?
That happens more often than you think. Sometimes it has a mind of its own. I go to reach for something, and it goes off the side and hits something that I don't intend it to hit. I've injured it, again, many times doing that.
People think we're making this up, but John has a finger, and the top part is bent at a 90-degree angle.
Yeah, if you're on the Twitch chat
it's like 45 right now.
Yeah, it's...
Maybe more 45.
You're not using that at the ATM.
It would make Tori Holt nauseous.
And it is the middle finger, too.
It is.
I do believe. So does that mean, John, that you can only go right hand middle finger when you're flipping someone off?
Oh, no. I always use the left hand.
No, I think you go that, and then people are like, wait a minute, what happened here?
They'll be like, what's he throwing at me?
Yeah, no, I think you have to go that way. Oh, my goodness gracious. There you go. There's the caller heavy this week. Very good.
Welcome to your life. Wait till you get the bouncy house on Sunday.
Can't wait for the bouncy house.
Will you go in it when you get home?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll be a choice. I mean, my daughter's going to want to be in there all day long.
Say she's taking a nappy poo, and you get home.
A couple hops in.
Yeah.
I'm so out of shape. I was, like, tired after just jumping in the bounce house.
Yeah.
I was, like, fatigued afterwards. I
wonder what percentage of people in this world would say they're in shape.
Not us.
We're in a 2 percentile, I gotta think.
It's low.
That's a 2 percentile.
How many would say they are, or how many actually are?
Right, that's the thing.
It's a low number.
Because you can look good, and then you can run, and you're...
just gassed.
Yeah.
Between the bounce house and looking for my dog yesterday, I thought I was going to pass out.
Forget it, you got your steps in, though.
Oh, I did.
You look at the metrics on your phone and see that day.
Yeah.
We walked 12 miles, what?
Too much.
The Patriots figured out a way to get their rookies signed, and... Andy Hart has a column up at WEEI.com that deserves acknowledging. All that next.
The short answer, but not the most meaningful one, is I don't know.
When my kids could get to know his kids, and then me and Tom could go to lunch one time. That's what I see, and I hope you agree. Bradley Stevens got the okay, Robin Williams.
WEEI. New England Sports Original. Gresh, Keith. It's Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
We mentioned mentioned our guy in Rhode Island who loves to talk about money.
Yes.
Well, here's a segment for him. The New England Patriots have signed their first, second, and third round picks. So Tyquan Thornton is in and Cole Strange is in. And now the draft class has been signed. And we find out today that the Patriots did have to make a little bit of a contractual tweak.
Yep.
And there are different ways that you can do that. Some do it with guys that are signed much more long term. Some are guys in the immediate. To me, this one is more in the immediate. They tweaked the contract of center David Andrews to be able to get all of this done. So as we sit here right now on June 24th, the New England Patriots have, I mean, really, truly, this is the essence of the phrase, they have trimmed none of the fat on their roster or contractually at all. They are a true open slate, an open book, let's say, that has nothing written in it when it comes to how they're going to go about sort of tweaking rosters, tweaking contracts. They have done nothing in terms of moving forward, which to me is kind of amazing because even this is the first even little tiny tweak that they've done to a contract.
Yeah, they cut Kyle Van Noy, right? Like if you're talking about guys who are under contract for the upcoming season to make money, and they traded Shaq Mason for a pick, so that was obviously a money dump.
Right.
So Mason, Van Noy out for just really a fifth-round pick, and then now, yeah, you renegotiate a little bit with Andrews to save a little bit of money. But so it doesn't seem like there's any moves that they were really trying to make. Seems like if there was one they needed to, they could. They could go to a bunch of these different guys like Andrews before.
And they still could. That's the thing. Like they haven't done anything big. This is, we took some money, we turned it into a signing bonus.
Is there anything big out there?
Well, yeah.
Ndamukong Suh, going back there?
Well, there's Ndamukong Suh, but I think it's more down the road, Odell Beckham. If Odell Beckham considered...
Might not be ready until November.
Well, there you go. And I think that's a part of the reason why, maybe. And plus, look, they're going to cut some dudes. Like, not everybody who has signed is making the roster, clearly. There will be maybe a player or two who makes some significant money that they would look to move on from at some point. There's going to be competition at defensive tackle. There's going to be competition at wide receiver, competition in the defensive backfield. So I'm sure that there will be some guys clipped where there'll be some dead money. But in terms of the renegotiation to bring in a high-ender, I think it would be much more for during the year than in the preseason, unless, Keith, there's a major injury. Like, if you lose David Andrews...
Oh, that's different. Yeah,
then you
got to
go find somebody.
Yeah,
617-779-7937. Andy Hart, apparently, I didn't realize this was a yearly column, I guess, from Andy Hart, WEEI.com.
It's a tradition unlike any other. It's like the Masters of the Rose Bowl. It's Andy Hart ranking the players.
So Andy Hart right now, WEEI.com, ranks the players 1 through 87. Now, just quickly, normally you bring 90 to camp. So there is room to, you know, throw three more guys on the pile and then just kind of see where it goes from there. But in clicking on this, and actually John was the one who mentioned it to me.
You know what I'm surprised by? Just as somebody who also will frequent in lists from time to time, Dork Podcast, we'll do a top 10, we'll do whatever, top 50 lists.
Are you looking at number 24 on his list with a long snapper jammed in at 24?
That's concerning. No, more the presentation. He goes 1 through 87. Wouldn't you go 87 to 1 to sort of build the anticipation? That's classic.
Well, you know what it
stuff.
Is. You know what it is, Keith. Is it's laziness because he doesn't actually give analysis past like number 60 on the list. So if he had started with 87, you would have had like 23 players that had no analysis, and then all of a sudden you got paragraphs towards the bottom.
Wow.
But I don't mind that though, because then you're like, because let's face it, even the diehard Patriots fan, 86 or 87 through 70, you probably aren't super familiar with.
I don't know. There's analysis on
scroll through.
There's an analysis on number 85 and 87. So yeah, I think.
Well, because of the rookies, right? It's Bailey Zappi and someone else.
No, the other long snapper is number 87.
I wouldn't call that analysis. It's like half a sentence.
And the other punter, but
no, it's one line for the other guy.
I still think
line.
John using the word lazy is going to set Andy Hart ablaze.
Hart's not going to like that.
I said this to him for the 2019 season when he had Joe Cardona, the long snapper, at like number 33 or something. I said the same thing to him. So I said that to you, Gresh, and then we opened it up, and he's 24 this year.
This is outrageous.
Yeah.
Because most years, I don't know if it was true last season, most years Joe Cardona is the lowest ranked player in Madden. Not on the Patriots.
Is that right?
In the league. Yes. Multiple years, he is the worst rated player in Madden. and yet Hart thinks he's the top 25 player on the roster. He's not.
He's
not
better than Josh Uche, according to Andy Hart.
No, he's not. He says he's better than Isaiah Wynn, James White, Cole Strange,
Jawan Bentley,
Mike Onwenu,
really?
Two of their, like, one of their starting corners.
Malcolm Butler, Terrence Mitchell, Jack Jones.
I do like Jonnu Smith being so low. He has him at 36.
He has Nelson Agholor, 35, Jonnu Smith, 36, Raekwon the Chef McMillan, 37, and then Tyquan Thornton, 38. What?
I don't know. He's got little wrists. So it is an interesting question, though.
Who, Andy or Tyquan Thornton?
No, Thornton. Who is the best player? Not necessarily who Andy says, but if somebody's like, who's the best player on the Patriots? Because obviously for 20 years, it was a no-brainer here. And then the next best guy was also somebody who was great. And then whatever. Like now, it's a real question. I bet if you ask 10 different people, you might get 8 answers.
I would say, I know, because again, you're evaluating in the now.
Yeah, who's the best player on the Patriots?
My initial thought right away was between Judon and McCourty.
Yeah, so he went with Matt Judon, even though, again, he played really poorly at the end of the season. But I would probably lean towards Matt Judon. There's nobody else I love. I think Trent Brown, you can't really rely on him. You don't really
know.
If
Trent Brown is upright and playing left tackle, it might be him by the end of the year. Mac's got to be close.
Is it?
I think, you know, the running backs are good as a group. But
yeah,
Damien
Harris is good, but you're not like, oh, he's the best player on the team.
You wouldn't put a tight end in there. Hunter Henry would be close. If you're going offense, it's probably Hunter Henry and Mac. And on defense, it's Judon, and I would go McCourty. That's just me.
Adrian Phillips?
I go McCourty over Phillips. Like, so, if you told me I had to have one of them, I'm keeping McCourty.
Yeah, Andy Hart has Devin McCourty down at 11. And case in point, he has Nick Folk number 2.
Come on now.
Nick Folk's pretty good.
He's good, but...
Nick Folk was good. And then he even swears in this, too.
Who does? Andy Hart?
Yeah, he goes, just a kicker my ass.
I have never heard him swear ever. Andy Hart? I don't think he's ever swore at an official.
I've heard every word you could think of. I've heard out of Andy Hart's mouth.
It's like saying that you're plugged up.
No, that means you only talk to him on the radio. I've never once had a conversation with him not on the
it's
radio.
It's normally the youth sports field.
It's normally, oh no, the off-air show with Andy is fantastic if you're willing to record it, and I don't know, it'd be at your own risk. But anyway, go to WEEI.com, and as John just said, check out the lazy effort by Andy Hart, ranking 1 through 87.
Well, numbers 60 through 87 are lazy.
You're going to get yourself in trouble, and I want to make sure that you do. We got Celtics news. We have Bruins news. The Red Sox are about to open a big series. Final hour, Gresh and Keefe next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.